God. Hallelujah. Man, men and women, we got so much on us. We have so much on us trying to bind us up and separate us from everything that God has promised us. And sometimes it's just you stand alone for God. But you have to keep standing. It's easier to give up than it is to fight. Amen. God is calling forth some warriors in Christ that's going to fight and uphold the gospel regardless of the cost. But God has been using the simplest scriptures to teach me how to keep trusting in Him. As I was been up since 5 o'clock this morning, God just dropped simple scriptures, like in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 28th verse, I think it is, it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." That's what I hear, Tony. We know not Elder G and I know, but her and Jesus know, and me and Jesus know, and Elder Kirk and Jesus know, that all things, all, Pastor, all, whether it's spiritual, physical, financial, supernatural, natural, all things, whether they are irrelevant, superimposed or superlistic, all. Even things you don't really understand. A lot of situations when we don't understand or not even know how we got there, but we know we're there. But God said all things. I like how He words things, because when He says the word all, I used to assume, or through studying, I got the advice or advice from God in the books that all represented the high and the low, you know, of the height of death and the width of everything. But then God said, no, since I've been studying this series, God said all represents Genesis to Revelations, the everlasting gospel to the everlasting gospel. Well, Revelations is also the everlasting gospel because it is also a new beginning. So all. So that means that everything that goes on in your life from the moment God birthed you into existence till this day and on, it's got to work out for your good. Does it hurt? Yeah. But God said it's supposed to work out for your good. Is it painful? Is it discouraging? Persecution and affliction? What was He thinking? That it's supposed to work out for my good. Oh, Lord God, I don't know what good going to come out of me hurting. I don't know what good going to come out of me pulling my pockets out and nothing but lint coming out. I'm trying to figure out, He said all things. I'm trying to figure out what good going to come from somebody persecuting me and me wanting to go punch their lights out. And God said, if you do, I'm going to punch yours out. What good's coming out of that? Affliction and all this stuff. Come on, Lord. Where's the good in it? But The word is true. He said, all things work together the word work together means cooperate. Okay, so let me get a clear understanding of this, Lord. You telling me that my affliction and you are cooperating. You telling me that my sickness and you are cooperating. So what you're telling me is what I'm going through was already purposed for my life. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Whatever it is you're going through in your life, and we know that all things, when I messed up, Fatima, God picked me up. So what do I know by that? That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it then, he can do it now. So if he is a God that says he can work through all things for good, somebody say for good. For the benefit, for your benefit. I'm full of questions this morning, Mother Liz. Just curious. So you telling me that my foot messed up and it's working for my good. You are cooperating with this thing and it's supposed to work for my good. It's for my benefit. So you telling me that they just come and repossess my car and I'm running after them down 7 Mile, but that's for my benefit. Feet hurting, can't breathe because I haven't run more than 2 feet in 20 years. Chasing my car on the back of a tow, but this for my benefit. Amen. I'm almost done. Believe it or not. But it says, but see, here's where the kicker comes in at. It only works for your good if you love God. It don't work for everybody. It's good. Only if you love God. The word love is translated agape, which means you love God unconditionally. So that means that if you go through hell, you still love God. They repossess your car, you still love God. They break in your home, you still love God. We're not going to go into some of the other stuff we go through. But God said, you still love me. So if you still love me, I'm going to work it. I like that word. Work it. He's going to work it. He's going to reshape it. He's going to reestablish. He's going to be a potter and remold it. So that however bad it seems, it's going to turn out to be a blessing to you. We don't always see the blessing because it's not the way we want it to be. But he says, isn't that love God? Love God. God is theos, the revelatory God, the revealed God. God revealing himself in you, showing you who he is, establishing his covenant with you and in you, letting you know that because you love him, whatever hell you're going through, he's going to make it heaven. Yeah. Ah, to them that are called according to his purpose. Well, purpose is kind of a key word here. Do you know why you're saved? You know why God delivers you? You know why he sets you free? You know why he brings you? I'm not going to tell you. It's right in the next verse. It ain't for his glory, Gloria. You keep saying it, so I just let you know. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what?
Predestinate.
To be what? Conformed. The word conformed is translated jointly. Jointly. Jointly formed. Meaning that God is reshaping you from your inward man out. He has to shape you from your inward man out so that you'll resemble his first born. If he changes you from the outside, nobody will see Jesus. How much will he be able to change you from the outside? What you going to do? Cut your hair? Grow it long? Have a mustache? Don't have a mustache? Have braids? Don't have braids? How much can you change your outward appearance so that folks going to see Jesus in you? But it says he did for no. He appointed you, he called you, he chose you. And then it says he for no. He predestined to be conformed to the end. It seemed like every message I preach, ladies, got that word in it. But the word image changes when you get to the book of Matthew. It's no longer phantom. It's no longer talking about illusion, but now it's representing idol. So what? God has an ultimate plan. God says everything you go through, every trial, every hurt, all your pains, all your discouragements, all your fluctuations, all your anxieties, all your sicknesses is to transform you into what he wants you to be. Huh? Why? Because God expects you to carry your cross. You trying to give it to somebody else. He wants you to carry your cross. He did predestinate or preordain or preform or order in the beginning that you be jointly formed with Christ to the image. The other image is talking about a statue or profile. He wants to change your profile. Because if he changes your profile, you will illuminate the Christ in you, who is what? Your hope of glory. But he can't do that. You know what your trials are? They the fire. They the fire that transform you, that heat you up so God can remold you and reshape you. If you don't ever go through nothing, you'll never know nothing. The word of God said they overcame by the if it was just because of the blood of the Lamb, he would have left out testimony. Your testimony is the conformation of what God is doing in your life. You've been hurt, but you made it. It turned out to be a good thing. You've been broken, but now you're healed. It turned out to be a good thing. You've been afflicted and persecuted, but you got through it. It turned out to be a good thing. Now, guess what the good thing is about it? Now the purpose of God can manifest itself in your life. Now you can tell folks that you can make it. Now you can love folks that... Folks, pray for folks that despitefully... Why? Because God's purpose is now... But if you hadn't went through it, how can you tell somebody that they can make it? God predestined, you know what? When we get to the word image and I think about it, he predestinated, he preordained or transfigured before time. And I'm back on Adam again. I'm back before God blew into their nostrils, when God breathed the breath of life in them. I'm back into that because now I can see that when God created the man and the woman and they were spirit formed. That God saw you.
Yeah.
All right. He saw you. He saw everything that you were going to go through. And he preordained that it work out for your good, because he searched the intents of your heart and found out that you were going to love him. Baby, I've been through hell and back the last 5-6 years. But he ain't take nothing from me but flesh. He didn't take no praise. He tried. He didn't take no worship. He tried. And now I can look back on it and see what he purposed for my life. What you going through, if you hold fast, you'll see the good in it. It's hard to see good in persecution. All you see is the persecutor. Amen. It's hard to sense good in afflictions and in sicknesses. That don't mean it ain't there. That's why Job made the statement. We just quote it all the time, but I really never really paid any attention to it till this morning. When Job stood up and made the statement, though he slay me, he wasn't talking about Satan. He said, though my God slay me, or that means though he allow me to go through the persecution and the affliction and the heartache and the deprivation, the discouragement that I'm going through by taking my children, by taking my cattle, by taking my cows, by taking everything that's dear to me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because God had already predestined. You know the good thing about all things to God is that he's already saw it from the beginning to the end. And he already know whether you're going to make it or not. You don't know, but he knows. I'm glad he knows, because I try to tap into that. Okay, Lord. I'm dragging my knuckles. I'm like Fred Flintstone. Don't warm my shoes out. And God say, stand up, Gardner. You ain't hurt. It's just a light affliction. Why? Because Paul understood the purpose of God in his life. Paul, if you go to Rome, they're going to kill you. Oh well, it's just a light affliction. Why? Because I'm suffering in the name of Jesus. But don't you think for 1 minute that I'm not strong in him too. Because when I'm weak, yet is he strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He foreknew. He knew in advance I was going to be a bumbling idiot. And he absolutely made provisions for it. Yeah.
Lord, thank you.
Let's keep it real. He made provisions for it. No, when God says he'll go before you and make all your crooked places, he means it. But he's going to search your heart and see just how much you love him. Because see, there's different levels of love when it comes to God. If he blessed him, you love him 100%. If you're going through hell, it dropped down to 60. If you don't see no way out, it dropped down to 30. Y'all thought it was going to go the other way, didn't you? I'm closing, honestly. The image of his son, that he might be the firstborn. See that? They that worship him in spirit and in truth shall be called the sons of God. Shall be selected to be the sons of God. You got to worship in the spirit first. And when you worship in the spirit, it produces truth. Then all things husbands, wives, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, cousins. Oh, these sound like the people that's the closest to you, don't it? Because they have the ability to hurt you the most. Because they're the ones you're not putting up a shield against. Amen. They can walk up and take you out and you don't even know you've been took out. Till you wake up the next morning. You feel like you've been in a Scud missile attack. But God said if you love him, he'll work it. I like that word, work it. That means he just takes his hands and get right in the middle of it and begins to work things out for you. You can't see it, but he's working it. You don't feel it, but he's working it. You can't hear it, but he's still working it. And before long, you realize that's the favor of God. That is the favor of God working on my behalf in my life. Baby, you better believe. Let me tell you like this. Baby, you better believe I know something about favor. I'm not talking to you because I heard Pastor Hart preach it. I'm not talking to you because it's been prophesied. I'm prophesying. I'm telling you because I've been in the dungeon. I call it the dungeon, not a dungeon. Because I found myself in there. Didn't nobody throw me in there. It's a Gretchen. Whatever, Greg. That brother tired. That job whipping him up. You notice he ain't jumping around. He ain't. How often do you see Greg not move out of that seat? Greg is usually all over the place. Back and forth 20 times. That's a good thing though, Greg. I'm closing. But he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Or in many brethren. Go to 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God. It's God that redeemed you. Yes. Not a man. Not a woman. But it's God. Let me tell you something. We are. God is trying to turn us into a pattern or into the idol of Christ. You want to be an idol? You better fasten yourself after Jesus. Because if you fasten yourself after something other than that God, then God will be, he's a zealous God. He will have no other God before him. Amen. So I can kind of like be excited. Because everything, Brother Little John, that I've been through, God has worked it. My God. He has worked it for my good. Listen to this team. My alternator goes out. I'm on Van Dyke in Nevada. Yeah. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Now, you know I'm not about to leave my car. I've already made up in my mind I'm sleeping in this car tonight until I can get it moved. I was going to sleep in my car. The Lord said, turn the key. I said, for what? It's dead. Turn the key. It's dead. It ain't going to start. Last time he said, turn the key. I said, whatever. And I turned the key and the car started. Now I'm excited. I'm like, oh, wow, it's fixed. I get all the way down to Ryan, about 20 feet away from 7 Mile, and it conks out again. I'm about to panic again. But then I heard the Lord say, look where you are. I looked, and there was Persia. He said, look at where you are. I'm still looking. 7 Mile, Ryan. Ryan, 7 Mile, Brother Chet. It ain't clicked. Had not clicked. God said, look at where you are. So I get out of the car and I start looking around. Guess what I see? American Auto. The reason he told me to look, because that's where I've been taking my car. He only works on European cars. I said, hello, Jason. He said, hey, brother Dennis, how are you? I go, man, I'm not that far. My car won't start. He said, I'll be right around there. Let me take this car off the hoist. Come around, got it started, drove it into the shop. God said, see, you can be such a bumbling person. All you have to do is listen. It works out for your good. He said, well, how can it work out for your good, especially when you know what it costs? He said, because what if you had been in Allen Park or in Wayne, Michigan, where I tend to be at times, and it did that, what were you going to do then? You just happened, it happened here. It worked out for your good. Yeah. There are things going on in your life that God has already got his hands in, and he's working it for you. But have more intelligence than I did. When he speaks to you, listen the first time. It'll save you a whole lot of aggravation and stress and discomfort. My stomach started hurting. I'm like, Jesus. Can't call Rod. What are you going to do? Walk down there to me? You got to call on Jesus. And you know what I found out? Sometimes you can call on Jesus without opening your mouth. He senses your distress. I was in church this Wednesday. I got a text message. If you call on the name of Jesus 1,000 times, he'll bless you. I'm going to show you how things work. So at first I wasn't going to reply. So I texted back. I go, well, I think if I praise him one time today, that he's going to bless me. So they text me back. What kind of pastor are you to tell your people to only call on the name of Jesus one time? So I text him back. I said, well, I'm kind of in the mindset of believing that if I call on the name of Jesus, that he's more interested, he's not so much interested in me calling up on his name than he is in me living the life. I hit a nerve. I hit a nerve. I was getting text after text after text after text after text, and I start sending them back and sending them back and sending them back. As soon as they hit, I send it back. Folks don't understand the purpose of God. Yeah. If I got to sit around and call on the name of Jesus 1,000 times, when do I have time to do anything else? Jesus. 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 Brother Green trying to talk to me. I'm going, Jesus. 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 I know me, I'm not going to remember, so I'm going to have to be jotting it down. So now I got to use my hands. There's a lot of foolishness out there. You better know your God. You better stop taking them crazy texts. Oh, ain't nobody here doing that, huh? You got to know who you are and what God's purpose is in your life and stand on it. Don't let nobody get into your world and separate you from your God. Think about some of the stuff you already been through. Some of the stuff you're going through right now. You have got to come to a place in God where you can see the good in it. Because if you don't find some good in it, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Somebody said, well, I made it. I said, yeah, but you're miserable. You're griping. You're unhappy. And you try to make everybody around you the same way. So what good to do for you? And let me ask you something. How's that work for you? How's that work for you being a grouch? Because you don't understand the purpose in your life. I see y'all back there pointing at each other. Everybody stand.